Senator James Lankford is chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management. And, Chairman, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. You and your ranking member, Senator Heitkamp from North Dakota, have gotten the Representative Payee Fraud Prevention Act of 2015 through the United States Senate. It's languishing in the House of Representatives. What would it do for federal employees and retirees? Thanks for your time, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, glad to be able to visit with you. It focuses on those federal retirees that they have a caretaker for their assets at this point. So they have their normal checks that are coming in retirement, but they've reached a medical stage where they have to have someone manage them. Right now, the rules are not clear and firm and consistent. If someone starts in that condition starting to steal money from a federal employee from their retirement as a caretaker, we want to make sure there are clear consequences. That is true for other federal programs, whether it be Social Security or Veterans Benefits. It is not clear for federal retirees, and so we're trying to match that up to make sure our federal retirees are taken care of all the way through their retirement and they don't face fraud at the end.
I note that this covers both CSRS and FERS retirees, so this applies to everybody who's worked at the federal government at some point.
That is correct, and that was essential for us at the beginning.
I note, too, that some of the coverage that I've seen about this revolves around the embezzlement, and of course fraud is in the title of the act. The Thrift Savings Plan has talked to me on a number of occasions about concern about fiduciary responsibility. Does this bill get to that, or does this stick just with actual criminal misconduct?
No, it deals with criminal misconduct on it. It's not dealing with some of the fiduciary responsibility issues, but it really focuses in on the individuals that would try to defraud someone.
Those individuals can encompass a variety of different roles and responsibilities as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, the caretakers there can be both a financial caretaker, where at times they'll have someone that is an outside of the family, or it could be someone inside the family, unfortunately, that occasionally happens as well. So we tried to make it broad enough and clear enough to put a protection around retired federal employees to make sure that someone is paying attention on the legal side that hopefully will create a barrier that someone will think twice before they try to defraud a federal employee in retirement.
What put this on your radar screen? It's not a terribly high-profile issue for a lot of people, although I hear a lot of discussion among advocates for federal employees, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly where it came from. It came from several advocates that were just sharing the idea and said that this is a concern, that this is left vacant, basically, that we do have this protection for VA and other areas, but we don't have it for federal employees. It's the same issue that's come up over and over again. As a lot of people have talked about OPM, Office of Personnel Management, what's going on in the cyber attack for them, which is obviously serious. We had already started the process before that, focusing on why OPM is so backed up right now, and so many federal employees wait 6-8 months before their benefits can start after retirement, and how we can try to streamline that system. So we've had multiple conversations with OPM trying to work through what's stopping this, how we get this clear records from the agency so OPM is not dealing with this, and then be able to get this process fixed.
Has the transition in leadership at OPM made any difference in those conversations or the progress of those conversations?
Well, I would tell you, the very first week of the transition of leadership in OPM, I had that conversation with the new director and said, I don't want you to take your eye off the ball. This is an ongoing process. Yes, we have to deal with the cyber issues, but this is an issue that affects millions of our federal employees that was already pending before even the cyber issues. We can't just spend all of our effort on the cyber issues and miss what's happening with so many retirees in their transition.
The chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations, Chairman Meadows, told me that he heard from Ms. Cobert very quickly after she became the OPM director. Did she reach out to you as well?
She did. Yes, she reached out to me immediately on that to let me know. Of course, we had already met before, but yes, she reached out to me immediately and wanted to extend that. We've also had private meetings as well since then. That's a critical issue for me. Obviously, that's millions of people that are involved in the process, and it has to be done right.
Are you satisfied with the response that you've seen so far on that?
They are in the process of trying to clean and organize at this point. There are a lot of systems and structures. Obviously, they would say there are a lot of legacy hardware issues that are at OPM that they're trying to correct, but this issue is not completely a legacy hardware, old computers issue and old software. It's also the systems of actually verification. You know, the famous, if you're going to be in a system that has private information, you need to hold something and know something. We don't have that kind of system around a lot of these databases. We need to build that in. They know that. they're walking through the process of that. The other issue is really getting consistent information from the agencies that on the retirement of any individual, those agencies all know what has to be up to date, so OPM is not constantly making requests of agencies to clean up their files. That's really OMB has to be able to help us in that process, so we tried to initiate that as well.
I want to go back to the Representative Payee Fraud Prevention Act 2015. I mentioned that it's passed the Senate. It's been passed through the Senate since the beginning of August, since you went home for recess. You have any sense of where it is in the House right now? Obviously, a little bit of turmoil among your former colleagues in the last few days.
You know what? I would tell you it's a likely candidate for the suspension calendar, which should move through without a flaw. But right now in the House, there's no telling what moves through without a flaw and how things actually work. So they'll have their own unique stuff. They'll get this worked out in the days ahead. But I would tell you that this should not be a controversial issue. This should be a straightforward issue that we can get on what's called their suspension calendar and get it done, get to the president's desk.